Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this October 19th, 2022. It is 10:06 on the clock, and you got your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in our good friend, Mike Hittner from Historic Point Boss, talk about the spirit walk they have going on. Right now, in studio, we have Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, James.
And, of course, our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, Taylor and the gang. Good morning to you guys. I appreciate you being here. Mayor, how you been?
I'm well. And you?
Good. Doing good.
Excellent.
Over here. I got to tell you, I love the ink. It looks so good, man. That looks so good. It's coming together really nice, isn't it?
I think it's about done.
Yeah, right on, right on. How have things been going in the mayor's office this week? I got a bunch of things to talk with you about, but I feel like I don't get to ask that very often. How are you doing? How's it going?
Well, it's been busy, you know, budget season and, you know, just the typical day-to-day phone calls and working through issues and problems.
I mean, there's always something, right? There are no off days, really.
I always say, you know, in this job, you never get to turn a switch off. You know, I'll get Facebook messages, hey, can you call me? You know, and so I'll be calling people in the evening, and it just kind of never ends.
And we can relate to that in radio.
Oh, yeah.
I bet Taylor can, and with your job, too. It's not a clock in, clock out, 9 to 5 kind of thing.
Nope.
There are always... But with that, I know that especially in the last couple of years, we've been talking a lot about mental health and the idea of taking those, work is here, personal life here, and separating these things and getting better about that, especially as Americans, where we're raised, you know, as soon as you can pick up a hammer, get working, you know, and you work until the day you die, basically, and that kind of thing. Work, work, work. We're getting better about talking about it, but I don't know how good we are, especially those of us, let's be honest, a little longer in the tooth. We've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it this way 40-some years. I'm not going to change now. I mean, you try to adapt things and grow a little bit. Mm-hmm. How, with that job for you, how do you balance? How is it going balancing that?
So I think my first term, I didn't do such a good job at it. I actually put on probably 30-ish pounds, you know, and I didn't kind of have that balance because I just always said yes. And this time around, you know, usually 11:30 to noon, 11:30, 12:30, you'll find me at the YMCA. I try to get there every day. I kind of go over my lunch hour, and then I eat my lunch at my desk in the afternoon. And ironically, this last weekend, in my prior life, I was a painter. And so my buddy Troy Martin called me up from Martin's Paint. He's like, hey, you need some paint time? And I was like, so this weekend I did some paint therapy time. And very relaxing. You know, you turn on the radio and you just kind of enjoy your time with your friend and enjoy doing things that you do. And then painting is surprisingly one of the things I enjoy. And
I get that.
You know, when I start, when I transition out of this office at some point, I hope to pick up the brush again. And
good on you.
So, yeah, I had some therapy time this weekend. It was really good and it was long, well over needed.
Very good to hear. And something that, like, even like myself can learn from. Like, if you can find a way to do it, I got to be able to. I mean, your job is a heck of a lot more stressful than mine could be. And it's a good lesson for a lot of us out there. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Painting is so relaxing. I love painting. It's a lot of fun. We had a really big day in our town just the other day. There was the groundbreaking ceremony for the new jail. How did that go?
Yeah, that was yesterday, and it was kind of chilly. But this project is 20 years overdue. You know, it's always a debate when we're spending money, and you know, sometimes we postpone things that, you know, at the time it seems like a good idea because it's expensive. But anytime you postpone things, they get older. More maintenance costs, and usually the cost to do the same project is quite a bit more. You know, we'll talk about the city government about, do we really need to buy this truck this year? Can we wait a couple of years? Well, yeah, we could wait, but then we stick a lot of money into maintenance, and then the truck's just more expensive. And so, yeah, it went really well. You know, this was a great collaboration. You know, the county worked with the city for, you know, going through plan reviews and with a plan commission. And then there's regular meetings going on yet, so the boots on the ground people are actually going to get this project done are regularly meeting yet between the county and the city, and it's gone very well. And I've enjoyed this process working with the county and the county staff and the different committees. And you know, this was needed, and it's long overdue. And yeah, it's expensive, but it's not going to go away.
So I, you know, it's well documented. I've said it on the air many times here. I'm a transplant. I'm not from here originally, but as long as I've been coming to this town and lived here, I've heard that we've needed a new jail. Mm-hmm. And I was excited about this ceremony, and I felt really bad I wasn't able to be there. So I was catching the news last night to see if they covered it and everything. And I'm watching a little of what they did cover, because they never cover Rapids. The TV stations out there just never do. Our town could be on fire, and they're not even going to what's going on in Wausau? But they did actually send a reporter down here to cover that story and everything. And I got to see a snippet of what they showed, the snippet that they showed. And they showed a little bit of Sheriff Becker up there talking.
Yep.
And Sean's a better talker than he realizes. He's very good at the job. And I personally have really enjoyed getting to know him and building a relationship with him on this show and all those things. But I do have an issue with one thing, and it's something that you just did too, sir, and it's other Wisconsinites I see, or other Rapidsites I see. When the jail comes up, immediately get defensive and have to feel like you have to defend why we need a new jail. And I'm just, it's just me. I'm just speaking for myself here. That's got to stop. Like, not to you guys. I'm not saying it to you guys. I'm saying it to the people out there that are pushing against this. For one, there's literal, shovels in the ground. Like, the time to get bent out of shape about this is over. It's going to happen.
Yep.
But more importantly, anything you can counter with me with this, it's going to cost money. It's going to cost more money the longer you wait. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have cost this much if you did it 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And what it costs on us as a society, as a community. Mm-hmm. If you tell me that this new jail, I can guarantee you that it'll save one life. And you tell me that's a corrections officer? Done. Done. I don't care what the price tag is.
No.
Get it done. Let alone all the other things that this is going to do with the safety issues and, you know, whether people like it or not, are the inmates being safer as well. That is a
Absolutely.
Part of this.
Absolutely.
All these things should have been done a long time ago. The fact that it's finally happening, let's just be thankful that it's happening, the jobs it's creating, and that it is going to make our community that much safer, not just for us as citizens, but our police officers, some of our most vulnerable people who don't have a whole lot of people looking out for them to begin with.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the county's paying over $1 million a year to house inmates in other communities, Adams and Wapaka County, and you know, the transportation costs back and forth, it all adds up, and it's not going to get any cheaper. And you know, here we're going to be able to, as I said yesterday in my little speech, you know, I worked in as a Wood County Reserve Deputy when I first started out, and I was walking in and out of that jail, and then I got hired down in Adams County Sheriff's Department, and I was part of the transition team from going from their old jail that was similar to Wood County's to a brand new law enforcement center, and this was like 1995, and they were already doing this, and it's still amazing that this is still the same jail that I walked around in the early 90s. With very little change. And and you're right, you know, they're going to a pod style system where it's not linear like our current jail, which is a lot safer. You can have eyes on people better. You can watch people. Because as earlier we talked about the mental health aspect of it, and there's a lot of mental health issues in jail and in society, but yeah, there's a lot in jail. And there are times where, unfortunately, people take their lives, and then it becomes the county's responsibility after that. And I think we owe it to them at least to try to keep them safe, like you said.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if we're not pulling on your empathy at all, then let's go to your book, your wallet, your purse, those things. You just touched on it right there. An inmate kills himself. Who's paying for that? Taxpayers. Taxpayers.
Absolutely.
So again, if that's what you care about, the money, well, this is going to be a lot cheaper in the long run. What you spend now, you're not going to be spending 20 years from now when who knows what prices will be of any of these things.
Right.
I mean, even in the time that it got okayed that this was a go, and between then and now, there's been some influx in prices and change and that.
Absolutely.
So who knows what it would be 2 years from now, let alone 5, 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, like the sheriff brought up yesterday, it's, you know, if you're a new employee, do you want to work in a brand new facility or do you want to work in an old facility? And I think, you know, given law enforcement and the number of applicants in law enforcement and corrections is has dropped off significantly. You know, we're competing for the best of the best of a small group, and we're all trying to get those best employees, as any company is. And so, yeah, you have a newer facility, you have a better chance of even attracting and retaining your staff.
And you know, and
there's so many aspects to it.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. that's a part. Sheriff Brecker brought that up, and I'd forgotten about that. But yeah, that's a huge mm-hmm. part of this. Trying to get people, you know, you and I have talked about keeping Wisconsin Rapids residents in Rapids mm-hmm. and those kind of things, mm-hmm. how hard that can be, and looking for ways to do that. Here's another end of that with yep. when it comes to our law enforcement and everything.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Absolutely.
Do you think, and I don't, I'm not looking to do this necessarily today, but as we get closer and closer to, you know, the actual construction being done, mm-hmm. you think one of the ways we can get everybody on the same page with this is maybe explaining a little more in detail, and, you know, and I'm not saying you guys know, mm-hmm. you guys have done this already, but just on another fold, explaining why it's going to be safer this way, why we are doing this, like more detailed of, and we don't just say it's going to be safer, we explain how it's going to be. You just did a great job of that, explaining the pod system and everything. I don't think that's common knowledge. As we get closer to the building of it, I think getting in a little more depth that you and I, Sheriff Becker and I, that kind of thing, I think it's not a bad idea. The more people understand something, the less likely they are to hate it for that reason. Maybe they don't, they still don't like it, but at least they they have the knowledge, the correct information.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, you know, and just, you know, this is going to be a 2 to 3 year project. So there's going to be a lot of activity with construction people in town and this project going on. And I think, yeah, regular updates would be a good thing.
Yeah. Another good thing is a couple of the proclamations that have come mm-hmm. out of the mayor's office I wanted to touch on with you.
Absolutely.
One of them, Free Speech Week. I am not in favor of this. I'm not. No, of course I am. Who is it? You know, this, I love these ones where we have these where it's like something where it feels like, look, everybody's got to be behind this one, right? I mean, come on, it's free speech. It's half of what we're built on as a country.
Yeah, I was getting ready this morning, and I started thinking about the radio show today and thinking about, you know, this is Free Speech Week, and it's ironic that we have to actually acknowledge Free Speech, Speech Week
right,
and actually talk about it and have proclamations and, you know, because, yeah, it should be a basic foundation of our government. And, yeah, we may not all agree with what we all say, but at least you should be able to say what you want to say, you know? And
It seems like, so Free Speech Week is also an opportunity to share information with the public and the media as a way of furthering the vision of our founding fathers. Mm-hmm. I really like what you wrote up here and everything. It's very well written, as all these usually are, always are. Now, I'd like to ask where this came from first.
Well, I'll say a lot of proclamations are pre-written, mm-hmm. so you kind of use them. Yeah. And then my assistant, Emily, is a phenomenal writer, and she's able to put together these things, and especially if I come up with, hey, we should do a proclamation for this, that's 100% her, and she deserves all the credit. Absolutely.
Emily's great.
I give Emily a shout-out anytime I can, because she is phenomenal, and I'm lucky to have her.
I like that in this proclamation, they describe the essence of the beginning of the Constitution and, mm-hmm. and talking about it more and talking about what the forefathers did with it. And I'm a sucker for history. I'm even more of a sucker the more homer I get, like the more, like if it's a American history, I'm all for it and all that kind of thing. But I, even somebody like me that's a student of history, it forgets things from time to time mm-hmm. or loses sight mm-hmm. of things. And when I read this, when I think about free speech, I don't worry as much about my personal free speech. I worry about people that aren't heard. And so it's not so much just about what it's more about what they're saying than what than them having the ability to say something. Mm-hmm. And then I think about the individual's responsibility of speech.
Absolutely.
We all understand that you cannot run into a building and yell fire and have no accountability. Like there is going to be a cause for those actions. I would like to see more of this done in society, where we have to own our words. We can't just say something and then just 2 days later, that was nothing. In this 24-hour news cycle we have, things get lost in the shuffle. But words mean something. Mm-hmm. They matter, and they have to have some accountability to them. And when I think of freedom of speech, the word "free" is sometimes misleading, I think, mm-hmm. because none of these things are free. We earn these things. We earn these things by respecting them in other Americans and championing them in others. Our soldiers and our that fight for our freedoms, all these things. None of this is free necessarily. It comes with a it comes with a responsibility. That yeah, I can yell fire anytime I want, but there's a responsibility that I don't do that in a movie theater or something like that where there is no fire. There is an accountability to freedom of speech, that these things do come with a cost. That cost is paid oftentimes by our soldiers or other factors. And just having some appreciation of that, just being thankful for that, it gives us one more chance to be appreciative of that we have these things, but also hopefully take a little more responsibility of, do I really need to tweet that? Do I really need to say that? You know, these are my words. This is coming back on me. How do I want people to see me? How do I want people to see how I'm using my freedom of speech? Because not everybody has it.
Right.
Just one last thing, I'll get off my soapbox. I also quit monologuing. No, it's your show. It matters, and this is the point of having a free speech week, of why we're talking about this, because these things matter, they mean something, and I think we've lost sight of this. We have more ability than ever to get our opinions out there, to get our words out there. I am sorry to say this, not everybody's opinion matters. I'm sorry, I didn't word that right. Not everybody's opinion needs to be planted out every 5 seconds. I don't need to know how you feel about chocolate milk. I don't need to know the certain things. Have some accountability to your words, to your actions.
Yeah, and I think you said it the best, and it probably it's worth repeating, is about taking that accountability for what you say. Because, yeah, we all have the freedom of speech, but it's so easy to put out there on all the different media platforms, garbage. I'm going to say garbage because I get people commenting on some of our meetings, and I read them, and it's like, do I take the time and respond to that,
Yeah.
Do I acknowledge misinformation, or do you try to correct misinformation, or is it better just to let it go? Because there's so much misinformation spread out there, just even locally, that people think they know, but they don't know. And how much time do you spend trying to correct them? Or my problem is, if I go out on any platform, Facebook, even with my own personal account, and I interact or engage in a comment, then it just turns into the mayor's out there, so let's all just hammer on everything. And it's like, I just kind of say forget it, If you want to call me, I'll be more than happy to talk about it or correct information, but putting in misinformation comments, especially on our meetings and things like that, it's just, I just can't even bring myself to respond anymore.
I deal with it, not nearly probably at the nauseam that you do, but I deal with it a bit in this job. And especially in the last 5-6 years, where people have gotten a little more emboldened with some of these opinions. And I will interact with every listener that I come across until they start acting like children. If they throw an anti-Semitic slur in there, if they start using name calling and these things, it's not like I can't handle that. I've dealt with that my whole life. I just realize, okay, this person doesn't want to have a conversation. They're just barking. They're just a dog barking. To me, that's how I pick and choose, but I don't like doing that either. I will want to have a conversation with everybody. Some people, again, come back to that personal responsibility. What are you doing here? Do you really have a point? Are you really trying to get something across, or are you just a dog barking? The other thing that I wanted to touch on, along with Free Speech Week, which is October 17th through the 23rd, is the Domestic Violence Awareness Month. You and I have worked with the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center a lot. I'm on the board over there. I know I've seen you at almost every event they've had. And long before you were mayor, I saw you doing these things. I know it's how important it is to you, too. When it comes to bringing awareness to this, it's something that is the point of having a month designated for it.
Yeah, it is important. All the way back to my law enforcement days, it's been an issue, and there's domestic violence out there, and it's male and female. I've seen it both, and I've seen it where it's both of them, to tangle, and it's really two to tangle, and there's truly our victims out there, and we need to call that out, and it's not acceptable, and to provide resources for people that do need help, which I think the Family Center, I know that's why the Family Center is here, to help out in those situations, and we need to support that.
Well said. We're in a divisive time. We're in an era where everything's gray. There's so much gray area. There's so many. Any one topic we talk about, there's going to be layers to it and everything. And then there's subjects like this, where it's pretty black and white. You're either on the right side of history or not. You're either against domestic violence, or you're going to get ran over by time, because there's no wiggle room here anymore. There's no gray area with this. You don't hurt people you love. pretty simple,
exactly.
Pretty basic. You don't hurt. My dad used to tell me this all the time as a kid growing up. Jimmy, I don't care if she's coming at you with a pitchfork and a blowtorch. You go the other direction.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
don't. There's no ever a time to do that. There's
exactly.
never. And I don't pretend like that's easy to do. I've been in those situations where I'm frustrated, I'm angry, and I'm Italian. I mean, we go off the handle all the time. All the more important reason to remove yourself from a situation.
Right, absolutely, that's the easiest.
There are ways around this. There are ways to get around these things without having to for it to come to blows, to come to these things. But again, if it does come to that, there's a side of society that we are on. Now, I know one thing that I've had to work at too, though, is being understanding of people, especially young people, when they do things in high school or in their mm-hmm. early 20s, and giving a person an opportunity to grow and become a better person. I don't want to live in a society where we just get shut down. We get one shot at everything in life, and then we're done. I feel like, yes, traditionally and statistically, there is not many one-time abusers. That doesn't happen very often. But I, again, don't want to live in a society where we just cancel people immediately and don't give people a chance to grow and be better.
And I've seen that. You know, I've seen a young adult have a bad situation with a girlfriend or a spouse, and then years later they're, you know, they want to apply for a job or a coaching position, and boom, there it is, you know, mm-hmm. and that keeps them from that. So, you know, those things kind of do hang on. And
and there's certainly supposed to be accountability for mm-hmm. things. I don't want to say like they deserve a slap on the wrist. I don't mean that necessarily. But you do deserve a chance to show what you can do in society, how you can contribute. That's the point of our judicial system. So we have to get better
about
this.
Yeah, it's really about what happened from the time that it happened till now. What have you done mm-hmm. with that space in mm-hmm. between? And, you know, there's a lot of different directions you can go. You can continue on that path, or you can continue on a different path, and you need to look at that space and how they filled it and not judge just because something happened 20 years ago.
I appreciate you putting this letter out there. You're putting this out there for people and bringing more attention to it. And mentioning the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, who of course do some of the most vital work in our community.
Yeah, and we can't forget tomorrow is Community Media Day.
Right.
So
right.
That's an important day and to recognize
absolutely
the community media. So there's a proclamation out there for that.
Day,
yeah, it is exactly.
It is a really important.
Did Joe
day.
Give you the day off if it was so important?
That's a good thought by you,
exactly.
Don't matter.
But then, you know, importantly too, a couple of weeks ago we had White Cane Day, and I didn't really kind of pay attention to it a lot because it really hadn't personally affected me until I met a young lady, and she came in and asked me to help advocate for it. And, you know, she's talked about how she's come close to getting hit. She's known other people visually impaired that have been hit. So out there, if you see somebody with a white cane, give them their distance.
Yeah. That's good. I'm glad you shared that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I didn't realize how big of an issue it was, and obviously it's important to the people that it affects, but it is a big issue.
Some of these national days of or mm-hmm. months of are for fun, and some mm-hmm. of them are just for that, to bring attention to mm-hmm. things that, you know, we can be the most open-minded, good-hearted person.
Absolutely.
There's just stuff that doesn't affect our lives, so we just don't see it. I appreciate you sharing that. That's really cool. As we wrap up, I did want to mention the website. There's a bunch of new things on there for people to check out. You guys are looking, our city is looking for input on creative placemaking, public art. Mm-hmm. There's a number of different things. And some of the other things the mayor and I have touched on today, wirapids.org is the website, wirapids.org. Always encourage you to go onto YouTube, type it in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, support what they're doing over there. Some of the best work you'll see in the industry, especially what you guys got to work with. You do amazing work over there. And mayor, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Give me a call, 715-421-8202.
Always a good time talking with you, Shane. Thanks so
Thank
much,
you, James.
We'll
Appreciate
talk
it.
Again next month.
Absolutely.
Taylor, you take care.
Thanks.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine here for you in a moment. And Mike Hittner, Historic Point boss, coming up right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.